It's the KSL Movie Show.
It's a lot of nonsense.
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Doug Wright.
Fame went to my head. Very intoxicating.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, it's a pretty unique opening to the movie show. You know, ever since we've been flush with money and we had like $79 flow in, it has been incredible what we've been able to do with that vast sum of money. I mean, new promos, all kinds of things.
Well, that creepy open kind of reminded me of...
Creepy open?
Well, that kind of reminded me of Bo is...
Bo is afraid.
Is afraid.
We are going to talk about a movie that is truly unique.
I tried so hard.
Well, you know, I was sitting when you kind of broke the news, you know, because I that it was going to be 3 hours. I went, this better be good for 3 hours. And you know, well, anyway, we'll talk more about Bo is Afraid. And, you know, remember...
Better tread lightly, 74%.
Oh, 74%.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, it's like you predicted, and I agreed. You know, the cadre of critics, you know, and not only ours here in Utah, but elsewhere, they're just going to go, oh, this was
actually,
so amazing.
I heard one say, where do I go to get my 3 hours back?
Ooh, good. One of our?
No, one of our new kids on the block.
One of the new kids on the block.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those that everybody's just going to be either euphoric over, you know, if they're one of the more enlightened critics, you know, where we mere mortals and little people don't understand the nuance, you know, that type of thing. But I will be very interested to see, for those who are actually brave enough to carve out the bucks that it takes to go see the movie and the treats and everything else, and then, you know, pay for the movie tickets, and then walk out after 3 hours of your life has been sucked into a black hole, I'm really interested to see what people are going to say about it.
I think it'll all pivot on Joaquin Phoenix. If you are a fan of his and you'll go to the ends of the earth, this is your test.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. Was he fabulous in this movie? Yeah.
Yeah.
But was the movie fabulous? No.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Basically, a director told him to do this
whatever
is what you,
want.
Well, either that or said, you have to do it this way.
Yeah.
And he said, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
He
How
did
much
everything. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Oh, it was, yeah. Unbelievable is a good word. So, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, that is the big movie of the week. Chevalier, is that how you
Chevalier, yeah.
Chevalier,
yeah.
Like Maurice.
Well, yeah, except that it's a title in France for like a superstar.
You know, I always remember Woody Allen's thing. He said, I just cannot believe in reincarnation. If reincarnation is there, I'm going to have to watch Maurice Chevalier again and go to the Ice Capades. He said, I just can't do it again. I can't do it. To Catch a Killer, I saw that.
Oh, good.
I like that
Actually,
movie.
That was, you know what reminded me of? It what? Kind of was a Silence of the Lambs. Kind
yeah,
of
a little bit. A
poor
little
man's
bit.
Silence.
Without the real, you know, like Sharpie, you know, he puts the lotion on.
We don't
get that kind of stuff. Okay, let's see. What else have we got here? And Ghosted, Somewhere in Queens. I saw that.
By the way, Ghosted is really good.
Is it? You know, I
should claim that I saw this either right before or right after I watched The Bo is Afraid.
Well, anything would be good after that.
Well, I know, so it might have been a little tainted. I was having so much fun watching these two beautiful people going, you know, spying and doing cool things. I thought, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So I didn't know Adam Driver was in it.
Well,
because he's such a beautiful man, as
he is a beautiful
say.
Man. He is in my movie news, a wise guy.
Okay, and Evil Dead Rise.
Well,
too bad we can't put in a call to Bruce Campbell and see what he thinks about it.
He's not in it.
I know. But, you know, what does he think about it?
Well, he's going to try to support it so they can get another one.
So they can get another one. Streaming, we're going to talk about The Diplomat, Mrs. Davis, and much more. What else have we got today? We've got a rendition of Telephone Torture that I am excited about. You know, last week was fun. You know, because we had the big Western movie themes.
I love that. That was good.
And, you know, some of them I'm just going, and especially when we had Liberty Valance, you know, and you know.
The man who shot.
The man who shot. And, You know,
poor guy. He was hanging on. He was
hanging on, trying to come through. But anyway, so telephone torture with fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. Remember when we were doing the Sundance stuff and we talked with John Nain, or Nine, I think is how you actually pronounce it, senior programmer, Sundance Film Festival. And he just kind of dropped, and I read in some of the propaganda that I got, that, you know, they restore films and they have kind of classic things going on. And I said, oh, we got to get you back, because any organization that is saving cinema and restoring film, I mean, you're good with me. And so I wanted to get more. And then he also said that he wants to talk a little bit about the collection section of the festival program. So that'll be interesting.
Didn't know we had one.
From the collection. So you
see the collector?
Ooh, I hope not in that sense. Let's see, what else have we got going on? The movie show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services. By the way, this preview, and I didn't even get the preview intro here.
Oh, no.
You know, after the big bucks, I think this one cost us, you know,
$6.50.
$4.89. Well, here, let's play the opening, because, I mean, when you put out that kind of money.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences.
The Movie Show Special Feature.
This is like where you see the ending and then it goes back.
Well,
and tells
maybe we
the
could. Yeah, we're doing what a great, you know, director would do. We're just messing with you. is basically it, and then calling it great.
By the way, the Tumbleweed Festival gets underway.
Yeah, that's
this week.
Fun. That's fun. Yeah. It's not in Bicknell, is it?
No, I know. West Georgia.
Remember when Bicknell tried to come up with the film festival?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I wish that had taken off. Kanab put a good shot on it, too.
Well, they're having one right now. Kanab is.
I know. But, you know, it was supposed to be like the really grow into something that was just incredible. I mean, when they had the Howard Koch there and everything else. Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, we'll talk tumbleweeds coming up as well. And let's see. I think we've kind of hit the highlights of the movie show. You know, I mean, we could go on and on and on for hours talking about the highlights of the movie show.
Really?
No.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay, and the big movie of the week, the review is sponsored by Paris RV. Boy, when I drive past their place down there south, you know, coming back from Eureka on I-15, they're on the east side of the
road.
They
got a bunch. Then.
Holy cow. Anyway, meanwhile, back at the review. Okay, Stephen.
Sir.
I did not see Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. You did. So this is all on your shoulders. Let's get a soundbite on Guy Ritchie's The Covenant.
Why he wants his job?
I need the money.
Don't disappoint. Turn out to be a pain.
No, not me, sir.
Stop the vehicle, Sergeant.
We don't want to go down this road.
You're out of your bounds, Ahmed. You're here to translate.
Actually, I'm here to interpret.
John, you have Talley's approaching.
Okay.
So you got to love this little platoon, because Ahmed, who he's from Afghanistan, he actually used to be kind of a gangster.
Really?
But now, you know, that kind of dried up, so he has to work for the U.S. government. And
so is that a step up or down? I mean, what do you say?
I think a lateral move.
A lateral move, okay.
But he's very common sense. He knows the country. And when they're about to do something, he goes, I don't know why you guys keep knocking on these doors of regular people looking for guns. Your intel is all screwed up, and these people don't have anything. And sure enough, they don't. He goes, you really want to do some, you know, make a difference here? Let me help you.
Yeah.
And so they find out where some huge caches of weapons are. But it, you know, with that much weaponry, you're going to also draw attention from the people who are trying to protect it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, wow, this gets super crazy. And they go on for a while until at one point the Jake Gyllenhaal, who is he's the sergeant, he gets, you know, taken out. And Ahmed is the one who drags him for miles and miles on a, you know how the Indians have the stick thing and they pull him along? Oh, actually, this was like a handcart kind of situation, but, you know, he kept protecting him. He kept him covered.
Wow.
And for miles. And then finally, when the war was over, John got to come home, Jake Gyllenhaal's character. But Ahmed, you know, they're supposed to, the deal was, you come work for us, we will give you a visa so you can come to the States. There are like 50,000 interpreters that are still over there, including, well, in this case, Ahmed. And so Jake Gyllenhaal gets home and he realizes, you know, there's a bounty on this guy's head now. Ahmed is like prime, you know, public enemy number one.
Persona non grata.
Because the Taliban took over a month after everybody left.
Right, right.
So, I mean, they're looking for him like hard. And so Jake Gyllenhaal can't sleep at night. He tells his wife, she finally goes, go back and get his family and him out of there.
Yeah.
So this is this movie.
Wow.
And it is good.
It does sound good.
It's a little gung-ho towards the end, but yeah. It's, I mean, you feel for Ahmed, his family, Jake and his family, and that's really well done. I like this movie quite a bit.
So what's the grade?
It's a B+.
A B+?
Yeah. And wow. It is rated R for the violence.
Yeah. Okay. And this is in theaters.
In wide release.
Everywhere.
This is the widest release. Well, maybe except for the Evil Dead Rises movie.
Well, you know, when you have that kind of a movie,
yeah,
you just have to cash in on it, especially the first week.
Of course, horror movies are always kind of bulletproof anyway, so
they are. Okay, so again, the title is Guy Ritchie's The Covenant.
The reason, because there's another movie called The Covenant, I think. I hope it's not a Tyler Perry thing that he's doing here, but...
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's my covenant.
Yes. Okay. All right. On that note, it's time for movie news.
Not just any news.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Movie news.
Action!
On the KSL Movie Show.
Okay. Movie news. Here we go. Courtney Vance is going to play Cobra Bubbles in Disney's... and Stitch. It's a remake, and the cast of the live-action remake is coming together now. Courtney B. Vance, and, you know, remember in the animated movie of years ago, Ving Rhames did the voice on that. And then they're putting together other things, and, of course, Bubbles is a former CIA agent who works as a social worker assigned to determine if Lilo's older sister, Nani, is adequately able to take care of her. Remember, that was kind of the plot line. So things are coming together. It's unclear just how much of the remake will actually resemble the animated movie that we all liked. So we'll see what happens on that. We're keeping an eye on it. And there is absolutely no ring or speculation at all on what the date might be. So that's coming up. And by the way, though, Zach Galifianakis, famous for Between Two Ferns and more, will be back as one of the characters. So,
oh, nice.
There you go.
Well, tall, dark, and handsome, Adam Driver.
That beautiful man.
Is reportedly in talks to join the Marvel.
The Marvel comic universe.
Remember, he played Kylo Ren in Star Wars. Well, specifically, he is expected to star in the Fantastic Four reboot. They keep trying to drag this thing out.
Fantastic Four.
And a reliable insider says he will be playing Reed Richards, the stretchy arm dude.
Yeah.
And it should begin filming in early 2024.
Wow. Okay. Fast X director, Fast 10, Louis Leterrier, I hope I'm saying that right, will not abandon his newfound family because he's going to be back for 11.
Wait a minute. I thought X was the end.
I know. And. Are you kidding me? And now they're saying, though, this is the end. Both of them are going to be the end.
Sure.
I know. What can you say? Fast X and Fast and Furious 11, all set to wrap up the hugely popular action franchise. You do wonder, how long is this thing going to go on? Fast X is scheduled to be released in the U.S. of A. on May 19th of this year. So it's around the corner, about a month away.
Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
And Allison Janney.
Ooh.
Are set to star in Everything's Going to Be Great. And it'll be directed by John Baird, who recently gave us Tetris, which was a great movie, and Stan and Ollie, which also was a great movie.
That was a good movie.
It's about a family that moves from state to state dealing with loss and struggles with identity, all while performing in regional theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Everything's Going to Be Great. And by the way, Bryan Cranston says he wants to do a Broadway musical.
Really?
Yeah.
He is an amazingly talented actor.
And a funny, super funny dude.
He really is funny. You see him in a comedy, and then you see him in the heavy duty stuff, and you go, wow, this guy's got a range. Okay. Anticipation continues, Stephen, to grow for The Flash. Finally coming to theaters this summer after some delays. Ezra Miller, front and center, as the multiple versions of Barry Allen, and the inclusion of multiple returning Batmen has certainly added to the fan excitement, because we're going to have several. Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck are going to be back as their various renditions of The Dark Knight. So, okay. The new teaser trailer is out for the film, where you can actually catch some glimpses. The Flash will be premiering in movie theaters June 16th of 2023, following a premiere screening at CinemaCon on April 25th.
Coming
just
up.
Days away. Yep.
The Writers Guild of America's members have overwhelmingly agreed to go on strike.
Ooh.
Nearly 98% voted to go on strike unless a new deal is worked out before May 1st. That's when the contract expires. And if they don't produce and they go on strike, this could be devastating for a multitude of studio projects.
But think of the opportunities, all those scripts that you've been writing that are upstairs where the raccoons used to be.
Well, they've eaten them all, so that didn't help at all.
Dust those off and ship them off.
I got one more thing for you.
One more thing.
Al Pacino.
Yes.
Was offered a role in a movie with lots of money, turned it down, and the role was for the character of, you're not going to believe this, Han Solo.
No.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
No.
Ooh-ah.
Can you
never tell me the odds, kid.
Oh, can you imagine?
I just thought.
Can you just see him there in front of Jabba, you know? Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, man. He goes, you're welcome, Harrison Ford.
Boy, no
like,
kidding.
You know, that's what kind of jerk. Sometimes he can be kind of a.
You know, as a matter of fact, the reason I'm so up to speed on, you know, say hello to my little friend is because that was
you
one.
You watched Scarface?
That's one of the sound bites that I considered for the telephone torture segment.
Well,
but I thought, yeah, our people aren't warped and twisted enough to really.
To see Scarface.
No, they probably did. They love the chainsaw scene.
The one they will get.
Oh, I've got some good ones today.
I've seen the list.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Oh, did Gustavo spill the beans?
Well, he started sending me the rundown, so I actually know what's going on in this show.
Why?
Just for fun.
Gustavo, haven't I told you, never let Steve know more than he absolutely has to know?
Yeah, this Renfield nonsense is over.
The Renfield nonsense. So anyway, telephone torture is going to be a, I'll use the term.
Barn burner?
A blast. Oh. A little blast from the past there. All right, it is 9:49. Let's take a break. Much more coming up here on the movie show at KSL News Radio. But I do, I'm obligated now by law, I was informed, to let's see, where is it? I had this big build-up.
Promote our...
I've got to turn. Yeah, we're promoting something here. The KSL text line, Stephen,
yes,
is what we're promoting.
Oh.
575... 00, that's KSL 00. Steve and I represent the two zeros there. The others, KSL. Join the movie show club. See, I told you the day would come. You know, the pandemic kind of dealt us a blow here.
Yeah.
But the day would come when there would be the rising of the sun again.
The phoenix.
On the movie show club. You can become a member, and you're going to want to become a member by texting the word movie to the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line at 57500. And let's put it this way. You want to see one of the biggest movies anticipated for the summer and pre-summer season?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to tell them about it?
You want to be, well, it has something to do with, you know, Groot, has something to do
Ooh.
With Rocket, has something to do with, you know, some.
Gamora.
Yeah. Green.
Star-Lord.
Oh, I love Star-Lord. Name really never kind of caught on.
Only to him.
Only to him. But anyway, just a little teaser there. You would be wise. It would be, you have chosen
you.
Wisely if you become a member of the Movie Show Club. And again, text the word movie, and for our listeners, I'll spell it for you. M-O-V.
M-O-V.
V-Y. No, it's M-O-V-I-E. Got Steve's attention there. Text MOVIE to the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line at 57500. We probably ought to review us. What's a little movie we could take care of here before we hit the top of the hour?
We could do the Somewhere in Queens.
Yeah, Somewhere in Queens. Okay, here we go.
Your kid, he had a good game. Where's he going to college?
No, he's coming to work for us, a family business, construction.
I'm a scout. If you want me to make a few phone calls, there might be a hole here or there. Some of those holes have scholarships.
You know, I love this story about the Russo family, their construction family.
Oh, you said this one. That's right. Okay.
Ray Romano is kind of a reluctant member of the, you know, he's just kind of wished that maybe he's doing okay with the family
business. He's the older brother. I don't get why he's subject.
But his dad and his brothers and, you know, their kids are all involved. He's got a kid. And at first we go, is there something wrong with this kid?
Yeah, I thought he was on the spectrum.
Yeah, and you kind of go, what's going on? But all of a sudden they find out that, and they're all worried about him. Everybody's worried about this kid. But he's got this bouncy, wonderful, cute little girlfriend they find out about. And they go, well, something's going along with this kid. Plus, he's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
And that's where Ray Romano kind of sees a future for him. But is it a future for him or fulfilling what dad wished he had done?
That's a good point.
And so watching this unfold and what happens, you know, we've all been in, at least, I don't know about you, but I've been in this position where, especially at a young age, and you get dumped.
Bad.
And everything.
That first love, heartbreak.
Your life has come to an end. And Ray Romano is so concerned whether this kid's going to make it for a tryout and whether he's going to be able to go to college. Watching the interaction of the family around the dinner table, and they're all there.
Sunday, yeah.
And, you know, in a weird way, it kind of reminded me of the Green Book. And one of the guys was one of the brother-in-laws in the Green Book.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're all sitting around passing around all the Italian dishes and everything else. And
yeah.
They're just loving one another and taking each other apart. I have to admit, I enjoyed this movie. It's not fabulous, but it's a B movie for me. It's a 3-star movie.
And I also liked Laurie Metcalf, who played his wife.
Great.
She was as ornery as could be, when you find out why,
that's right.
Then it sort of comes to, you know, you understand.
Yeah.
It's a very simple movie about a simple family, and yet there's a lot going on there.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, you know these people.
Yeah.
You know, whether yours is an Italian, maybe yours is a Jewish family, a Latter-day Saint family, a Catholic family, you know. We've all seen that. I just used religion there for kind of the culture aspect
sure.
of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you relate to it. You really do. So what's your grade, Steve?
My grade is a B.
Don't tell me we're on the same page.
Well,
I was
blind
getting
squirrel?
Nervous. No, I always get nervous. Going, wow, did I miss something?
No, you got it right.
You got it right. Okay, and again, it is called Somewhere in Queens, and where's it showing?
It is in semi-wide release. It's
release.
In select theaters. You're going to have to look for it a little bit.
At select theaters.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real.
KSL News Radio.
You know, during the Sundance Film Festival, we had the chance to talk with John Nine, has been there since 2001, dealing primarily with American and international feature films, as well as the festival's panel conversations, and he curates Sundance Institute's Film Preservation Initiative, the Sundance Collection at ACLU, and you know, ACLU.
UCLA.
Or maybe the ACLU, too. Or the ASPCA, or, you know, who knows what. Yeah, UCLA. But, you know, when we were talking with John a little while back, and I was just mentioned that we've got to have you back and talk about the preservation. We've got to talk about the collection and so on. And, John Nine, thank you so much for accepting another invitation to be here on The Movie Show. Welcome.
Thank you. I was very glad when you said, hey, we should have you back to talk about the collection, because I love talking about the old movies, so happy to be back.
Well, let's go into the collection at UCLA.
or dyslexic listeners.
Could be an interesting collection if it was at the ACLU also.
Yeah,
but, UCLA.
That could be very interesting. So how did the collection start? What is the collection, and kind of how do things work?
Yeah, it started in 1997, and it was a joint collaboration between Sundance Institute and the UCLA Film and Television Archive, which is one of the biggest archives in the country, and does a lot of significant work across the history of motion pictures. But is also quite interested in the independent sphere. And that's one of the areas that you find underrepresented in archive work, right? We think of archive work and we think of old, you know, black and white movies and making sure that we can still, you know, see these films from Warner Brothers or Universal from a long time ago. But the truth is, it's the independent work that is in some cases, in more jeopardy, right? Like they don't necessarily have these big studios behind them, or in fact, they've changed ownership four times, or the filmmaker who made the film is keeping the negative in their closet. So the initiative was sort of born out of that recognition that there was actually serious work to be done to make sure that the films that we've shown at Sundance, the films that are important to the history of independent film, are actually kept around, are preserved, are put in a safe place, are maintained in circulation, so to speak.
Well, you know, I hadn't even thought of that because, you know, we do think of the old nitrate films and the effort to save some of the old silent movies, and such a pitiful percentage of those films even exist.
Yeah.
Much less, you know, preserved. And then, you know, we think of some of the big titles, and sometimes, you know, TCM or whatever, they'll make a big deal about a kind of a classic movie, as you mentioned, you know, the Universal Pictures, Warner Brothers, and so on. I remember what a big deal it was when Jaws was restored, because the colors were fading so badly from those 1970s. Anybody who took a lot of pictures in the 1970s, if you haven't looked at them lately, go back and look at them. A lot of that, I can't remember what the type of film was, but it was just notorious for fading. But I hadn't even thought about some of the independent films, which, of course, is the specialty for Sundance. How do you decide which ones get the effort, the treatment to maintain?
Yeah, it's hard is the answer, because we're dealing in a lot of situations with imperfect information about why we would or wouldn't get involved in a film. And by that, I mean that really we're looking at, like, what is the situation of that film? What are the circumstances that would make us prioritize it? For example, that nobody can find the negative, or that we did find some elements, but they've been stored in someone's closet and they're not looking great. You know, they're starting to give that vinegar smell. So what we're really trying to do is we're going through the history of any film that's connected to Sundance Institute, not just the films that we've played at the festival, but anything that's connected to the Institute. And we're sort of identifying, wow, this one, yeah, that one, we really should look into that one. And that begins a process of a pretty painstaking outreach to producers, to the film company, to, you know, the people who might know where that negative is. And, you know, it's important to say that the first thing we're trying to do really is to make sure that whatever elements exist for that film just get to a safe place. Like the idea of making a print or making a new DCP or restoring that, that comes later. That comes, you know, when we're thinking about exhibition and we're thinking about things that we might show at the festival. But really, the first step is just to make sure that someone knows where the negative is, or that it's in a safe place. And that's where we reach out to folks and we try to get them to bring their material to the archive, to the UCLA Film and Television Archive, which has this amazing state-of-the-art facility in Santa Clarita, California. It's you know, pretty amazing thing to behold. You just need to look at it as a filmmaker and say, oh, I want my things there. That looks really safe. And so that's our first step, is kind of just make sure that folks know that they can put their negative in a safe place. And that'll ensure that in the, you know, decades and years to come, someone will be able to make a print or a DCP or whatever format exists in 40 years from the negative. So we just go through a process of trying to figure out which films need it the most.
Yeah, I'm curious, with now the movement from shooting on film to doing everything digitally, and even, you know, a lot of things were shot even on video, some of the lower budget things. Has that been good for preservation, or does that come with its own bag of issues? For example, you know, video, and anytime you're on magnetic tape or anything like that, can really be an issue. I know the Museum of Broadcasting, a friend of mine curates back in Chicago, it is a big deal. I mean, that stuff does not last forever. I hear even some of the digital images can decay. So is this a good thing or a bad thing that we've moved from film now to other formats?
Yeah, you're exactly right to say that it comes with its own bag of problems, right? Which is, of course, there are good things that come with any kind of technology. And interestingly, like, you look at the tools that are available now for restoring work digitally. It's funny because if we do projects with these filmmakers from the 80s and 90s who were probably on a real tight budget when they were doing their final kind of color timing of their little indie film, tools were limited then. And yet nowadays, what's available when you're digitally remastering, it's just incredible. They all sort of walk out of that time room going, oh my gosh, wow, I've never seen it looking like that. But the answer to the question from the standpoint of whether, you know, the digital revolution was a good thing, it makes it deceivingly, it's a sort of an idea that filmmakers assume that because it's digital, it's just kind of safe. It's on a computer somewhere. And in fact, it's probably in more jeopardy. What archivists will tell you is that 35 millimeters is a wonderful thing. If you put 35 millimeter print in a safe vault, in a UCLA archive vault, it's going to last for literally centuries, like proper temperature and humidity. It's going to last for a very, very, very long time. Then conversely, think about digital formats, right? We're changing codecs every 2-3 years. We're changing, you know, QuickTime. Good luck playing a QuickTime file from 15 years ago, right? So people think that because it's on digital, it's safe. Hard drives fail. You don't, you know, you've got to migrate content over and over and over again. And so what ends up happening is you have a lot of formats where you can't even play them anymore. And so that creates its own set of problems. And I think it also creates the assumption that it's safe. It's that idea that filmmakers assume it's safe when, in fact, it really actually requires even more sort of diligence than an old print would have.
Boy, for me, this is so fascinating. And most people will, on a much smaller scale, of course, kind of in their own family video library.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of the different formats, you know, from the 8 millimeters that your grandparents shot to the early, early, you know, half inch and 1 inch video that we shot, and then to the actual DAT recorders and different things like that where we're shooting, you know, 8 millimeter video. And, you know, how do you preserve that and how do you keep up with the technology? You have to keep 14 different formats just so you can play it back. Where, you know, with my grandpa, he just broke out the old Kodak, you know, 8 millimeter projector, and we watched him year after year, decade after decade, and almost century after century. Some of the things he shot
That's
in the
right.
1930s,
yep.
And I can still show them, unless the film gets too brittle. Hey, before we run out of time, how many Sundance Collection movies are there reposing at UCLA?
Yeah, there are 4,200 elements, like films, right? Now, that could mean anything from negative to a DVD, because as much as we like to work in restoring, you know, the work through the original negative or something like that, part of archival work is simply just making sure that the film exists somewhere for someone to look at, a researcher, a student, artists. You know, they want to be able to go to a place and see particularly those films that are either no longer or never were in distribution. That's part of our story, right? That's part of independent film history. And the idea that you can go someplace and look at those. So we have 4,200 elements. The ones that we spend the most time on really are the preservations. And we've done a lot of really interesting preservations over the years. We usually end up screening them at the festival. And those screenings end up being, I think, you know, really memorable, incredible reunions 20, 30 years on from the original screening where you get the cast together, you get the people who made the film. There's a very changed context. And there's a lot of new people watching the film who never saw it in the first place. So part of that work that we do is also to bring it to, it's called the living archive, right? The idea you're not just putting it on a shelf somewhere, you're screening it so that it can find new audiences and so that you can continue to revisit the history and recontextualize it.
As you look back over this year's festival and maybe some previous, what are some of the titles that you have been particularly excited to show again and introduce to the audience that enjoyed it and perhaps a whole new generation of filmgoers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there have been so many films that Hoop Dreams, Paris is Burning. This year we did Slam, which was, you know, memorable in so many different ways, but Slam, the people who came out for the screening, including the cast members, the filmmaker, but also Mamalu Stewart, who was one of the rappers in the jail, who was a real inmate. and was released in part because of the criminal justice reform movement that Slam was a part of. Those are the things that create these special moments. I remember the cast of Sex, Lies, and Videotape all sitting on the edge of the Egyptian theater, you know, talking. Kevin Smith, when he came to show Clerks, literally performed a wedding. Two people wanted to get married, so he married them. Paris is Burning, when we did Paris is Burning, Ben Bender's film, Harry Dean Stanton actually sang the closing credit song live on stage with a mic. Wow. Beautiful moment. So there's these beautiful moments that happen, you know, when we're able to screen that work. And so those films, Slacker, Walking and Talking, we did a 25th anniversary of Reservoir Dogs. Some really, really great work. Just Another Girl on the IRT we did a couple years ago. That was a nice moment. So, yeah.
Amazing. A lot of good films. To see Blood Simple again.
Yeah, Blood Simple and things like that.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. The Coen brothers, yeah. you're talking
pretty to, sure they're saving their stuff.
Yeah, you're talking to two real big fans of the Coen brothers. John, thank you so much for accepting our invitation to come back to the movie show. I really appreciate what you're doing, and this is so important. And give our best to your crew there, and we'll look forward to seeing what is coming up next year at Sundance.
You're most welcome, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. John Nine with us here on the movie show at KSL News Radio.
Back to Doug Wright, Steve Sales, and the KSL Movie Show.
Okay, Steve, and I've dropped some hints. You know, we've been encouraging everybody to sign up for the Movie Show Club.
But why?
But why? Well, just because we're so terrific.
Well, besides that.
And listening to the movie show is such a joy.
And
big news, our friends, more specifically, our friends at Megaplex Theater, and that includes Jeff the Whipple. It includes Blake Anderson. It includes them all. They have stepped up big time, and they're going to let us host a private screening of the up-and-coming huge movie, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It will be exclusive to members of the KSL Movie Show Club. Thus, thou shalt become a member. Do it now.
Yeah,
you know, really,
because seating is limited.
Yeah, and we want to pack the place. So if you're joining the club to get these tickets, make sure you use these tickets, because there are millions, billions.
When will it be?
Well, I was just going to mention that, because that's kind of the punchline. Okay. The screening will be on Saturday, May 6th, and I mentioned this to somebody at KSL. That will be the 101st anniversary of KSL going on the air. Nobody else was aware of that. Remember,
well,
last year,
100.
We had the big 100-year. Well, this is the 101st. That's really not the reason we're doing it on the day. That's the day that Megaplex would let us do it.
We can pretend to do it then.
But we can pretend to do it. So it'll be at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. It opens on that Thursday night.
Right.
And then it will have shown on Friday. So you will be among the very first in the known universe to watch this movie, and you'll be doing it for free thanks to the Megaplex Theaters and the Movie Show Club. So we are planning on you being there, and we'll be giving you more information on how you can win those tickets. But the first step, join the KSL Movie Show Club by texting. Movie to 57500. There we go.
Got it.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Okay, Stone, you got to come over here. Come on over. Because Steve is off, you know, procuring minkies or something. I don't know. Did you duct tape him in the back?
A little bit. Maybe little some bit. Zip ties.
Yeah, so, you know. Well, the show started. Okay. You know, I just was looking around going, okay.
10 seconds, and
Stone's got my headset.
That's right.
Talk about a palace coup.
I thought maybe you were duct tape in the back room, you know.
Oh, I was fighting with Christine over some of her selections.
Well, now that didn't sound good.
Well, no, it we have a running gag about one of the blankets that they sell. Sorry.
What, the cow print? You don't like that?
You said it, not me.
I love the cow print.
Of course you do.
Of course I
do. Coca-Cola cowboy.
Well, you know, Well, they did
a Diet Coke cowboy.
They have your little calico cat, you know, print over there.
So. No, they don't have the red and black one, which is my favorite one. All my University of Utah friends love that blanket.
You're going to have to go on eBay and pay $9 million for it now.
For a used minky?
Okay. Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. Thank you, Stone.
Now, you already heard the intro, had you actually been here, that we're going to do the streaming
news. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah.
It is time for a little streaming news, Stephen. So.
Planning on a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Every time I hear the announcer say a weekend on the couch, I just picture you on the leather couch at Dr. Feldman's, and he's trying to figure out what is wrong with you.
Or I could be on my new couch that I got from the warehouse.
Well, that's true. You
which
know,
is
sitting there.
Magnificent.
Just magnificent, he says. Okay, The Twilight Saga.
Oh, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Now what?
You remember we were talking about the Harry Potter saga.
Yeah.
They're retooling it for the small screen.
Right.
And, you know, they're going to take the books of J.K. Rowling and they're going to be able to maybe extend it over a whole season, right?
10 years.
And really,
oh, yeah, each
over,
book.
Yeah. So anyway, they're doing that now with Twilight. The Twilight saga is set to be reimagined on television, said to be in the early stages.
Can they make it good this time?
Of Lionsgate Television. It does not yet have a network or streaming platform to call home. But Stephanie Meyer will be involved with the Twilight series. We're not sure to what degree. They're speculating that all of the characters will be recast because many of them, I think you'd probably have to pay them a whole lot of money to ever show up on that set again. Some of the actors from the feature films, there are rumors, may be there for like some cameo roles and so on. So maybe we'll have little vampires where they have been sired by previous vampires that we were aware of from the movies. So
the Dead Glow vampire.
Something for Steven to look forward to.
I can just
see you on your couch with your Annie bag stuffed with your feral cats that you're collecting, and you'll be watching Twilight.
Sure.
Sure you will.
Can I just say, Star Trek Picard.
You have
season
loved
three.
This.
Just ended.
Yeah.
And this is the next generation, you know, all those, everyone was back.
Yeah.
And they did the most spectacular job with the finale, everything leading up to it, even hinting at what's on the future.
Wow.
As they kind of turn the page. But what they did with Star Trek Picard's series finale, season three, was amazing.
Wow. Cool.
Very happy.
Yeah,
you've
been a big, big
out.
Fan. It's fun when you get really enthusiastic and people do something really right. You know, when it's something that you've kind of grown up with.
It's a great story.
Exactly.
And a nice send-off. It was perfect.
You ready for some real sad news for DVD fans?
Oh, yeah, I heard.
Netflix is saying.
I thought this died years ago.
I know. I did, too. I didn't know they still did this. Netflix will be saying farewell to its DVD by mail business. This helped launch Netflix. I mean,
that was their start.
Yeah, you rewind, and I mean, I can remember those envelopes
Be kind,
coming
rewind.
All the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to rewind. The final discs will be shipped on September 29th of 2023, and they say, quote, after an incredible 25-year run, we've decided to wind down DVD.com later this year.
Since Boy, that no is, one had ordered one in that, the last 3 years.
That is the end of an era.
What are they going to do with all those DVDs?
Well, you know, good question.
Have a big sale.
Have a big sale, I guess. Have a movie show there or something. But, you know, this shows you how dramatically. I mean, in Netflix world, $239 million is nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing. That's what they made in 2020 on the DVD rentals. $183 million in 2021. Remember, this is during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then it dropped to $148 million in 2022, and it's on a track already. They have only the first quarter to look at right now, but it's down dramatically even from that, so it's goodbye DVDs.
Well, speaking of Netflix, you know they just made $8 billion in their last quarter.
I know,
and they said they're going to maybe slow down their whole thing about the addresses.
Yeah.
The people that share their subscriptions.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, come on.
$8 billion.
$8 billion's not enough for you?
Which I thought is pretty good because, you know, they were spending $10 billion a year making stuff.
I know.
Hannah Waddingham.
Yes.
You know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't?
I have no clue.
Well, you will when I tell you. It's Rebecca from Ted Lasso.
Oh.
The big, tall,
she
blonde.
I love the last episode, and I don't want to give stuff away, but they're in Amsterdam.
Oh.
And she has a sweet little storyline in there that I thought was just amazing.
And you notice that she sang, and she's sung before in that Christmas special.
Right.
Well, guess what? She is now going to star and executive produce a new musical holiday special. It'll be recorded in front of an audience at the London Coliseum. With, they say, special surprise guests.
Cool.
It's called Hannah Waddingham, Home for Christmas, and it will stream, of course, on Apple
TV+. She is an amazing. Talk about a woman with a presence. And it's not all just because she's tall.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just got it.
My daughter said the same thing. She goes, I think Hannah is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
She is amazing. She truly is. And for her to stand out that way on such an amazing show to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, wow, to be a star in that kind of galaxy is incredible. All right, Sylvester Stallone will feel his age in Never Too Old to Die, a new project from Amazon Studios, retired secret agent. He will play living in the home, and apparently...
You mean like a retirement home?
Yeah, it's described as an action comedy. Never Too Old to Die. It sounds a little reminiscent of some other things we've seen, honestly. But mysterious murders are happening within the retirement home for spies, of which he is one, from the Cold War era primarily. And he's on a mission to find the assassin who has knocked somebody off in the home. Sly is now 76 years old, and this will be in his Balboa Productions envelope, and Never Too Old to Die will be produced by Stallone. And so I'm trying to, I didn't see a release date or, you know, target on that, but anyway,
yeah,
he's still here.
We're still going to talk about the Mrs. Davis and Somewhere Else, right?
We'll do that.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Because we got Mrs. Davis and, The Diplomat, yeah.
And The Diplomat. Hey, I want to remind everybody again, because it's a big deal, KSL text line.
Yeah.
Now, there are kind of two ways you can get involved. This is one. The KSL text line is 57500, and all you have to do to join the Movie Show Club, so you will be eligible to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 that we are going to be screening on May 6th. All you have to do, but you got to be a member of the club, and so text the word movie to the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line at 57500. We're going to give you more information, too, on how you get the tickets and so on, because it's going to be done randomly, and it's going to, well, we'll have a couple of ways you can get tickets, but primarily, you join the club, and then you're automatically entered, and then there will be some random drawings, and we're going to give away a grundle of tickets.
Is there another way to join the club in case people don't like the text?
People slip me $5. I'm thinking there might be a little telephone torture in the very near future.
Oh, good.
On the program with fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. And don't forget, it's time to become part of the club, the Movie Show Club, by texting 57500. Text MOVIE to the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line at 57500. We're really hitting that today because, you know, in order to really fully participate in the movie show and in order to have a really good chance of winning tickets to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3 for our special movie show screening with the Megaplex Theaters on May 6th, you got to be part of the club. So text MOVIE to the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line 57500.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Well, Stephen, you better suit up.
What do you keep sneaking up on me for?
No, that you're just paranoid. Nobody's sneaking up on you, Steve.
Are we on?
Yeah, we are. What is the deal with him today?
I don't know.
You know, Stone was just standing by, just ready.
Yeah, he was
ready to, like a ninja. Ready to pounce. Okay, now, because of Dee's delicate condition, and by the way, she's doing better.
Oh,
her hip but
their brownies coming her way, I'm telling you.
Sure.
I know. I said last week, but things got ugly.
This is the brownie tease, so, you know. But anyway, because she is still recuperating, we shan't have her quirky picks. I told her, you know, the phone does work. but, you know.
But she probably isn't in the mood to watch anything right now, is she?
She's watched a lot of stuff.
Oh, she has?
Yeah. But this just gives us an opportunity to sneak in a little telephone torture.
Oh, this is your frustrated game show nonsense.
What?
That's right.
No, this is very sophisticated radio, Steve.
Sure, let's see what happens this week.
Now we have an official
your track record hasn't been good.
We have an opening for telephone torture now.
We do.
Gustavo's going, we do.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone torture.
Telephone torture.
What was that? It sounded like a fiesta thing.
Well, telephone torture is a fiesta.
Okay.
It's an opportunity for people to revel and dine and, you know, get made fun of. And, you know, everything that the movie show is.
All right, let's see what you got today.
Okay, so the number to call, but we've got interesting questions today. You know, if I pick up the right paper over here. I sent Gustavo some really good movie clips. And this will be a chance.
He chose none of them.
Thanks. No, he chose all of them because, you know, he knows where his bread is buttered.
Well, at least for now.
At least for now. That's so true. So, anyway, here we go. Because KSL Talk, 575-8255, is the number. A chance for you to win fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. Two tickets to the Megaplex Theater of your choice. You can get two tickets to the movie of your choice. And a drink and popcorn. Two drinks. One popcorn to share. Unless you're a hog, you can eat it all yourself.
That wouldn't be good.
No, that would not. Can you imagine eating a whole bucket yourself?
Yes.
I've tried. I've made a good run at it. So, this is what we've got today. We are going to play sound bites that are verbal, and we're not going to ask you who said it. We're going to ask you from which movie did it come.
Okay.
And it might be, you know, something that was maybe used in a series of movies, and you have to get the right episode. So, all right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to our first contestant. And I came up with this last time, and I like the way it worked, you know, because we were just kind of randomly. I'm letting people choose. Steve, the benevolence of my good, great heart. I am a...
You're over couldn't there. Even say that with a straight face.
He's over here gagging. We're going to let you choose between 1 and 5.
Okay.
And that way, you know, we're not, you know, just...
Not setting them up.
We're not setting you up for failure. So let's go to our phone line and find out who our first potential winner is here on the movie show. Hi, who's this?
This is Roy.
Hey, Roy. You know, are you excited to be on the movie show?
Absolutely, because I'm number one.
You are number one, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily not a loser. You do understand that, right?
Yes.
This could get ugly real quick.
Yeah, it could get ugly. So, okay, here we go. I'm going to let you choose either 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, and we'll play the number, and if you win, you win all the goodies. If you don't, you're just a loser.
Absolutely.
You might want to turn that radio down in the background.
That's going to throw you off.
It's making me crazy. Okay.
Dueling Dugs.
Yeah, Dueling Dugs, and boy, that ain't a pretty thing to see. So what number are you going to pick?
Number 4.
Ooh, this is the hard one.
Of course it is.
Really,
did
no,
you just change all of a sudden?
No, it really is. Steve's backing me up. Number 4.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is a very famous line. And you've not only heard this line in this movie, although you have to name the original movie. We've heard it paid homage to, and we've heard it made fun of in other movies. But,
I don't think I could name the movie, though.
Well, considering what a fan you are of this particular thing.
Well,
all right, here we go. Play cut number 4, Gustavo.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
That's one of the most famous lines.
Oh, I know who said it.
In all of cinema. And as I mentioned, it's been referred to, and usually they're making fun of the Echo. You know, rah, rah, rah. Yeah. Okay, so what is it, Roy?
Oh, I
can't remember the baseball player, but I can't come up with the name of the movie.
Okay, Gustavo, let's let him know what we've got here. Here we go. Okay.
So it's the, that can was, we say it? The Yankee?
It was Pride.
Oh, the Pride of the Yankees.
And that, of course, was
Lou Gehrig. Yeah.
And it was who playing Lou Gehrig?
Oh, Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper, of course. So, but nice try. And
that's honest, a tough one.
And honestly, I always
the Pride of the Yankees. Yes,
I always put one real tough one in there. You know, one of the better known. You know, but it's not something that might.
It's the title that throws you.
Yeah. Okay. Pride of the Yankees. All right. Let's go back to the phone line. And hi, who's this?
It was Pride of the Yankees.
There's another.
Hello?
Doug, hey. Listening to Doug, do the movie show with Doug doing the movie show, listening to Doug.
Horror show.
Horror show or something like that. Who is this?
This is Jerry.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good.
Okay.
We'll
now,
see.
You can pick 1, 2, 3, or 5 in order to win fabulous prizes worth up to dollars.
I'm going to go with lucky number 3.
Ooh, lucky number 3. Ooh, we're kind of on a theme here. Okay.
Okay.
Number 3, Gustavo, play that soundbite.
Play that tune.
There's no crying in baseball!
Okay, name the movie.
A League of Their Own.
Yeah!
Oh, there we go!
Nice.
Tom Hanks, that's become part of the lexicon. You know, now,
there's so many great lines.
I mean, how many people says it's like, you know, you're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody's whining about something, and you inevitably hear somebody go, "There's no crying in baseball."
That
hey,
whole scene is hysterical.
I know. I love
Are you crying?
That.
Are you crying?
I know, and she's just quivering. You know, she's
no,
crying.
No.
He's got a big wad in his cheek. You know, that he's chewing. Okay,
leave her alone, Jimmy.
Hey, you are a big fill in the blank
wiener.
Of course nice. You are. And you're winning fabulous prizes worth up to
dollars
from the movie show and the Megaplex theaters. And what movie are you going to go see?
Guardians.
Well, you
Guardians.
Know, you could save your tickets on this one. Save your tickets, save your popcorn, save the 2 drinks.
But then you'd have to watch it with us.
Yeah, well, there is that. But, you know, if it, are you a member of the Movie Show Club?
I am. Big time member, big time fan.
See?
Well, there we go.
There we go. Dude. So you're already in.
Well, he still has to win the
okay.
tickets. Right? The odds are.
Yeah.
The odds are. That you will have a pretty darn good chance of getting tickets to see the movie with us on May 6th. And by the way, if you ain't a member of the Movie Show Club, it's darn time to do it. And all you have
if you're
to
not
do,
a joiner, join.
Yeah, if you're not a joiner, this is one time you really should be a joiner. And we don't mean carpentry on that one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you can be a joiner. Or
dovetail.
Who's doing the joining. But all you have to do is go to the KSL text line, 57500, text movie to that line. And that's the Cypress Credit Union KSL text line, 57500. Become part of the club. Well, congratulations. Now, there are a few little duties you need to do because, you know, there are a lot of pathetic losers who are out there listening to this show right now. And so what do we do on this show to make those losers feel better about themselves?
Let's have Old Blue Eyes sing them off.
Yeah, there we go.
Here's to the losers. Here's Jerry. Here's to the
losers. You know, nobody can make losers feel better than Frank.
Unless it's Christine.
Okay, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another rousing rendition of Telephone Torture here on the Movie Show at KSL.
The Movie Show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
You know, it's a good idea to join the Movie Show Club, but I'm going to give everybody kind of a fast track to make sure that they have an even better chance to win the Guardians of the Galaxy tickets. So this is how you do it. This is, of course, being presented by the Movie Show and our amazing friends, the Megaplex Theaters. And to win, all you have to do is, I've mentioned text movie. That gets you into the club.
Yeah.
But if you want to automatically be entered to win. Kind of a leg up, as it were. All you have to do is text the word Marvel to 57500. And that's it. Text Marvel to 57500. You will automatically be entered to win. Plus, you'll have the option to join the exclusive Movie Show Club text line, you know, so you'll be in the group. So you'll have more opportunities to win prizes, special screening passes, and more. So we mentioned you've got to be a member of the club in order to participate. Texting Marvel will kind of accomplish both.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. It's Marvel to 57500, and our special Movie Show screening of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and that is coming up on May 6th. And we really want you to come with us.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
And make sure if you enter for the tickets, you're really going to use them, because we want to have everybody have a chance to see this. We don't want any empty
seats. This is a full theater kind of movie.
This is a big one. Okay, Stephen,
yes.
We need to review another movie.
Okay.
And how about if we do, I wasn't able to see this one, but I'm dying to see Ghosted. Let's get some sound on that.
Okay.
Her name is Sadie. I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but I think she might be the one. She really is great. You'll see.
Any word?
She ghosted him.
I bet she isn't even seeing your text.
She does travel a lot for work.
Go to her.
I'm going to London.
Okay, Ghosted.
Oh, gosh. What has Chris Evans been up to since, Captain America? He's so typecast, although he's a humble farmer, lives in the East Coast. He's selling his stuff at a market, you know, all
farmer
this
market
organic produce.
Sure.
He lives on the family farm, though, and his sister gives him a hard time. He's like, get out of it. What are you doing living here? And he goes, well, Dad had some health issues. I need to come back. And so he's working the farm. Well, this young woman comes to his farmer's market, and it's the gorgeous Anna de Armas. Her name is Sadie. And she says, I'm looking for a plant. And she goes, but I travel a lot. So he wouldn't. She goes, how about this petunia? He goes, no, that needs to be watered at least every other day. And if you're not home for 2 weeks, you'd be murdering this plant. So I'm not selling you my petunia plant. He goes, how about a cactus? Something that she can't. Anyway, they have a big argument. And the lady that's working in the booth next goes, what are you doing? You guys were flirting. He goes, we were? So he goes up and he says, hey, catches up to her. How about you and I just have some coffee or something?
And she goes, kill a plant together.
Yeah. And she goes, okay. And so they end up spending the day together, going to all these places. And it takes over into the next morning, actually. And he is so madly in love with this woman that he's texting her like 7 times a day.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not good.
And finally she says, dude, what are you doing? Well, anyway, this is the part where it's stupid. The parents go find her because, she has his inhaler in her
bag.
Course, and it has like a GPS on it.
What?
Is that a thing?
I don't
think so. Anyway, that's the ruse. And he ends up going to London to try to find her. Turns out she is a CIA agent in the middle of a huge case.
Oh, no.
But they think that he might be the tax man because he's right there where she was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so now it becomes that movie. Remember Night and Day with Tom Cruise?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's that movie only reversed. She's the super spy. He's the idiot farmer who is hilarious. I thought this was really cute.
Yeah.
It's getting trashed, though. People are like, stupidest movie. This is the dumbest movie. No, it's not.
Ghosted.
This is a fun movie. It's called Ghosted. It's PG-13. It's on Apple TV+. Should be in theaters. It is.
And the grade?
It's B+.
Okay, B+. Hey, very quickly, because we didn't cover this in streaming news, The Diplomat and Mrs. Davis.
Diplomat is Carrie Russell. So if you saw The American or any of those shows, Serendipity, she's really good. She plays a diplomat. She's been called to work in the UK. I've only seen the first couple episodes. Mrs. Davis is definitely weird, but it has the woman from Glow, and her name is Jerry Gilpin, I think it is. Anyway, she's hysterical. She's a nun, and there's an AI that has sort of taken over the... I mean, this is really creepy, and they all refer to her as Mrs. Davis. And they really want the nun on their side for some reason.
Is this like Megan in The Ministry?
I don't know.
AI?
Oh, yeah, kind of, but not.
Okay.
She'll like, somebody will come up to her, Mrs. Davis would like to speak to you.
Ooh.
And she becomes the proxy, so she talks to her, and then the person, I mean, everyone she knows Mrs. Davis, and Mrs. Davis wants her to join their little group, and she's resisting mightily. Okay. It's a bit weird, though. There's some strange religious overtones that kind of pop in and out of here, and including the Pope and Jesus.
Where's this streaming?
This one is playing on, hang on here. Mrs. Davis is on Peacock.
Peacock,
and The Diplomat is Netflix.
Okay. All right. I think it's time that we do an unpleasant chore.
Uh-oh.
We review.
Wrap the show up?
No. Oh. No, for some, that's a pleasant chore. Bo is afraid. Okay, let's get a little sound on
this. We should just have that clarion sound from a battleship right now.
She's very pretty. Is that the type of girl you're attracted to?
I am so sorry for what your daddy passed down to you. I wanted a child.
I'm visiting my mother tomorrow.
Do you ever wish that she was dead?
What?
I am so sorry I saw this show.
The moment you walked in, I said, no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Steve leaned over and he goes,
go.
What are you doing here? And I said, well, you know, it's one of the movies I can actually see this week because we've had a crazy week. And you said, and you held up three of your little stubby fingers. And I went, no, it's not 3 hours long. Yeah. Yes, it was.
And well, 179 minutes.
Yeah. So. And then about, 30 minutes into the show, Steve leans over and goes, I'm going to let you do the setup on this.
Yeah.
Try to explain this movie. Holy cow.
Gosh.
This is just the craziest thing. It's like every weird movie you've ever seen, including The Truman Show, and they dump it in a blender, and it just spills out.
You know, I thought it was sort of like about a guy, but about mental illness and how his interpretation of the world through his eyes was... Was I misguided?
But
by
you never know what's real, what's not, what's happening, what's not, what is in his imagination, what is not, what is real about his mother and what is not, what is real about some, and his neighborhood. Holy smoke.
Where does he live?
Where in the world does this guy live?
Let's get the travel bureau in here and make this happen.
I mean, this makes, you know... What, you know?
Escape from New York?
Escape from New York, and it makes the Taliban look friendly. And, oh, my goodness. In order to, you know, one little thing. He gets a new prescription from his doctor, but the doctor is warning him, his therapist, warning, do not take this without drinking water.
Right.
And then again, you know, he does everything.
Big red letters.
He does the read my lips. Remember to take water. So he pops these pills, and he's in this hellish apartment, you know.
That's even before the crazies.
Yeah, it's like Dante's Inferno put you in an apartment, and then all of a sudden they've turned the water off. This is after they've already warned everybody of all the brown recluse spiders that are loose, and so he goes and he's panicking. There's no water in the building. He's no nothing. He does. I thought maybe for a minute he was going to go and lap something up out of the tank on the toilet.
I thought the same thing.
But so he decides to run across to the convenience store.
The bodega.
Oh, and he props it open with a great big thick phone book. And I
Which
go,
you don't know where you find those.
Where do you find a phone book nowadays? And he makes the beeline across and his card is declined. And you go, what's going on here? And so he's shelling out, and the guy behind the counter is cutting him no slack. And in that neighborhood, I was amazed he was as nice as he was, and he was terrible. And then finally, he realizes that it's like zombies have just discovered the doors open.
Yeah.
And they go in, and they rip everything apart. You don't know what's real, what's not, what is being imagined, what is not. Joaquin Phoenix, he is a brilliant actor. His range in this movie is terrific, but I don't care. I hated this movie.
It was a very difficult film to watch. The whole point is he's trying to get home to his mother, but then he finds out, perhaps, that she's been killed.
And how was she killed? That becomes a running gag, so to speak, in the whole movie. And who are all these people that are mad at him?
Yeah.
You know, because he's not getting home fast enough.
Well, yeah, the lawyer was horrible, vicious.
And you have all of these more than cameo appearance. Parker Posey's in this.
Nathan Lane
is in this
Amy
movie.
Amy Ryan.
I mean, it's amazing the talent in this movie. But I'm just going, when I went home, you know, Dee said, well, how was it? And I went, I need therapy now.
Remember in the lagoon when they had in the funhouse, they had disc that you try to sit in the middle and you push people up?
Sliding off, yeah.
That's what happened to me. I got thrown clear of this movie about two-thirds through, and I just couldn't take it.
You know, a lot of times you'll see a movie that you were disappointed in, but there were some saving graces and so on. I don't know what the saving grace is in this movie. It is so bizarre, but it's called Bo is Afraid, and I'm very afraid that somebody will force me to watch it again. I'm sure the CIA is already going, wow, we could use this for, you know, Guantanamo.
Next year's best picture.
Oh, probably. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of maha critics who just love this thing.
74% on Rotten Tomatoes. So three-fourths of them love this movie.
Yeah, frightening.
No.
It's called Bo is Afraid, and watch this at your own risk.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you give it a grade?
Well, I gave it a C-, but that was just, I didn't know what to do with it.
You have to give, I don't know. And how wide a release is this in?
I think it's semi-wide,
yeah, like
but not.
Medium wide? Yeah. Okay. Joaquin Phoenix in Bo is Afraid. Let's take a break, and I'm feeling...
Actually, it might only be at the Broadway. This is an A24 movie, so...
Ooh, okay.
They usually don't go
very
wide.
Have to, if you are an unfortunate soul who's going, these guys can't be right, and you actually want to go see this, good luck.
Yeah, if you can find something out of this that makes sense,
that's right. Have a safe word that you can shout out.
Cantaloupe.
And somebody will come and save you from the movie.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
The actor?
On KSL News Radio.
Still a couple of movies to talk about, Stephen.
Sir.
And how about if we talk about To Catch a Killer?
Oh, please, yes.
You know, I just watched that last night, so here we go.
We have an Olympic-class marksman running wild. Every shot found its mark. No casings, no brass, not a single fingerprint. He didn't come here to die, and he does not want to be found. We're going to disappoint him.
I really like this movie.
I did, too.
Yeah, I really did. I was watching it, and I really got into it, and the plot, and it opens, you know, we're kind of following, what's her name, was in
Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, there's something going on with this woman, and you don't quite know what it is, but she is kind of above and beyond your normal beat cop, you know, there's something there, and, but she's trying to take care of a few things, and all of a sudden, there is a shooting. And, you know, these people that are just, it's like on a New Year's Eve, and they're having a big fireworks celebration, and people are just being picked off.
You know what it reminded me of is that scene in Jack Reacher where he's taking out those people in front of the baseball stadium.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so,
except this is at night with fireworks going on.
Right. And what was the body count? 29, wasn't
29.
It? 29 on that. And she has the presence of mind, you know, as they're trying to clear the building where this they triangulate it with lasers.
Yeah, that's pretty quick, by
the
way.
It was pretty cool. So anyway, they're all running over to this building, and everybody, all the cops are, get out of the building, because when whoever it is, he sets off an explosion in
right.
that room.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, what a way to get out and not be noticed and so on. But she has the presence of mind to go, we ought to be, you know. So she gets another cop herself, and they start taking videos of all the people coming out. That really catches the attention of the FBI agent in charge of this investigation.
Played by Ben Middleton.
He's wonderful. You'll recognize him. You wouldn't be able to name him probably, but you'll recognize him from other movies. And so he kind of puts together, and this is one of those vicious circle things where everybody is, you know, cutting one another's throats in law enforcement and who's really in charge and who's going to gain, and the politicians.
And he seemed to have a chip on his shoulder about looking over his shoulder
right.
a lot.
And then you start to really see why. But they start to narrow down on, because he keeps this little cadre of people that he trusts, and he can kind of sense that they are not just, they're out to find the killer like he is. And he's kind of being the political blunt for it. He's taking the hits while he lets these folks do their work. And how this unfolds and where it ends up was so intriguing to me. And it wasn't what I'd ultimately expected.
Yeah.
It took me for a lot of loops. You know, you got a rather interesting tour of a slaughterhouse, you know, that is part of the storyline. And you
there's a real slaughterhouse.
Yeah, and you go, wow. I was really intrigued by this movie. I liked it. It was a 3-star movie for me.
This reminded me another movie, Silence of the Lambs, only on a lighter note. I wish that the eventual killer had been a little bit more dynamic because he's a great actor.
Yeah.
And so he didn't get to do a lot except at the very end. And I thought that was a little almost too neatly wrapped up to me.
I like the fact that he wasn't sadistic. He wasn't a torturer. He was
tortured.
And he was just kind of cleansing. It was so bizarre that I actually kind of liked it. And
it made him a little bit more sympathetic, especially through her eyes, where she could see what he was trying to do.
He was kind of the dark side of her.
Yeah.
And the FBI guy recognized that. So what's your grade?
A B.
A B. Yeah, we're on the same page again. Wow, I really am getting nervous here.
Well, you should. You're finally getting taste.
And then Chevalier, just really quickly.
Chevalier is I wanted to call it a harpsichord movie, but it's actually violins. Chevalier was a real person in France who was the greatest opera writer and all that stuff. And played by a young man who's African-American. So, it's kind of an interesting story, especially the racism that starts to heap on when he becomes the queen's favorite. And everybody's like, this is a black dude. We can't have him in here. Yeah. So there's a little bit of coolness there, but it's not a great film. Gave it a B-. Chevalier is in limited release, I think, at the Broadway.
Okay. Now, we are quickly going to hit the movie show top 10 here.
Oh, shoot.
We'll do away with the opening, even though the goat bleat will be sorely missed, I'm sure, on this. So, sponsored by Call Climate Services, just down the road from where we are right now. Number 10 is Nefarious. This isn't doing a whole lot. Scream 6 is still cranking out the money. It's number 9. And we have Mafia Mama. That did not do well.
And rightly so.
Rightly so. Then we have a Japanese anime movie. What is this?
Susume. It's doing really well in Japan, obviously.
In Japan,
not so well here.
Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, really caught me off guard. I really like this movie. And it's made about, what, $76 million domestically?
$160 total worldwide.
Air, go see this movie. It's better than you think. It's only made about $35 million domestically.
And by the way, don't we have free tickets for that?
That's right, to the AMC theaters.
Yeah.
And let's do the phone call right now. Call KSL Talk. Boy, thank you. Almost forgot that. And we're going to give away some tickets. So just get on the phone line right now, KSL Talk, and we'll give you a pair of tickets.
Okay.
All right. And then Renfield, this isn't doing very well, only $8 million.
That's funny, though.
John Wick Chapter 4, it's making tons of money.
It is, and it's exhausting.
The Pope's Exorcist, we talked about this last week. It's number 2 with only $9 million. That tells you that Super Mario Brothers is making all the money.
Boy, no kidding. 700. It'll be over $1 billion by the end of the weekend.
Right. Hey, again, we want to remind you that you can win tickets to see Air, and it'll be at an AMC theater.
Yes.
And you just have to call KSL Talk. And I'm not even sure how many we're giving away.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, so you'll have a chance to win those tickets. Hey, and thanks to everybody for listening to the show today. We've had a great time. And tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.